What's up, Zach Oates here, author, entrepreneur, and customer relationship guru. Welcome to Give an Ovation, growth strategies for restaurants and retailers, where we find industry leaders to share their secrets to grow your business. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, the actionable guest feedback tool that works on or off premise and is easy, real time, and actually drives revenue. Learn more at ovationup.com. Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation. I am joined today by the founders of Via 313. They partnered up with the Savory Fund and have just had some incredible expansion to an incredible brand. I am so happy. This is like 3 years in the making to bring on Brandon and Zane Hunt onto the podcast. Welcome, fellas.
Hey, Zach. Always good to see you, man. Thanks for having us.
And I just want to let you guys know, I woke up this morning and I chose love. I am wearing my Texas barbecue shirt in homage of the founding of where you guys started. And I actually went to the food truck there in Austin, because you guys have two food trucks there still.
Yep.
And but they're not like normal food trucks. They're like stationary food trucks, right?
Yeah. They're attached to local bars here in town.
And so anyway, so I got a chance to go there, and I was staying in a hotel right by like the first one, and everyone in the hotel was just, they were buzzing with like, oh, that's the Via 313. That was like their first location right there. And so anyway, I know you've told this story so many times, but I would love to just hear, how did you start a Detroit pizza place in Austin, Texas, of all places?
Well, so the story is in like 2008. My wife and I, and by the way, my brother and I both born and raised in the Detroit area, about 15 minutes south of the city. And around 2008, there was an economic downturn. I think that was affecting the whole country. It hit Detroit really hard. And not that it hurt, not that it was hitting my brother and I personally, but we felt the effects of it in Detroit. And at the time, my wife and I had two young children, and we decided to pick up and move to Austin, Texas, of all places. So we moved down to Austin, summer of 09. Had Brandon come down and visit. He ended up moving about a year later, down in 2010. And through that time frame, we had come to realize that the kind of pizza that we had grown accustomed to eating in Detroit didn't really exist in Austin. And both Brandon and I had not just a service industry experience, but pizza experience. And so we started throwing around the idea of starting a pizza place together. And, you know, there were some fits and starts, and there was, you know, lack of confidence and things like that. We just didn't totally believe that we could actually do it, actually. But it took some time. We worked on the recipes, business plan, financial plan, all that stuff. And about in the December of 2011, we opened that first food trailer that you mentioned on the east side of Austin. So, and, you know, we've just scaled it from there. We've had three brick and mortars and two trailers before we partnered with Savory. And then from there, we've scaled it, I should say.
Yeah. So you guys really nailed it down in terms of like the culture, the economics, because I know Savory Fund really well. And, you know, they don't partner up with people who don't have good economics of what they're doing. So you guys had this all dialed in. What advice, if you were to go back and you were to say, hey, Brandon and Zane of, you know, however many years ago, right before you started, so 2009, you sit down, what advice would you give yourselves? Would you say start growing your beard now? Because,
No, it was too hot in the trailer to do that. But I don't know, man. I don't want to be braggadocious, but we had our P's and Q's in line when we started. My only advice would be to do it sooner, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say just do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish we would have got started sooner and faster, but... obviously things worked out just fine, but we were pretty, pretty measured in everything, just from our corporate backgrounds of different places that we worked at in the past, things to be looking out for, things to track. We were pretty, from day one in the numbers.
I think that I feel the same way as Brandon does. I also would like to add though, that I think that it's important to surround yourself. I mean, people say this all the time, but it's really important to surround yourself with people that have had success and try to meet as many people as possible. Both to learn and also to sort of gain confidence. Because I think we lacked a lot of confidence in those early days. We didn't totally believe that we could do it. I mean, obviously we tried to do it, But I think that us not totally believing in ourselves delayed us. And I also think that, you meet people and they're like, no, you've got it figured out. Like you show them your business plan and they're like, no, you've got it dialed in. You're actually way better off than you think you are, you know? And I think we needed to hear that from people that were having success.
Yeah. And I think another thing that's so important is to realize that a problem is totally normal, right? There's so many people who are starting restaurants and businesses and ventures, and they see a problem and they're like, oh my gosh, like we're doing so poorly. But the thing I like to remind people is that the backyard's always on fire, right? There's always some problem going on, and that's okay. Just make sure our job as leaders is to make sure it doesn't get to the house and to celebrate what's in the front yard, right? Don't discount the wins just because you have some losses, because it's not a single game. It's a whole series, right? And like, I think that's important to really remember. And it, with that confidence though, is making sure that you realize that and that you understand that, you know, you may be better off than you think you are.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's that. And also, I think Brandon and I used to talk to each other about this and be like, well, if this was such a great idea, why isn't somebody already doing it? Like outside of Detroit.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, why do you think obviously your pizzas are not like for anyone who hasn't gone to Via, it is just so good. I mean, genuinely one of my favorite pizza places in the world. And I eat at a lot of pizza places, as people can attest based on my Instagram. And, you know, like, why is it? Like, why do you think other people hadn't done it outside of Detroit in any real way?
I mean, for the same reason, probably why we didn't get done doing it sooner was, I don't know if people realize how special it was 15 years ago, what Detroit was sitting on. You know, the internet was just starting to really kind of catch on, I think, 15 years ago, as crazy as that sounds.
Like, well, particularly the pizza.
Yeah, the pizza side stuff, yeah. Like, this stuff wasn't out there really. Now it's everywhere. But I think that's the main reason, honestly. It's just that information wasn't out there.
Another thing, Zach, to consider is that, you know, the OG Detroit style pizza places like Buddy's or a few years later, Cloverleaf or Louie's, those are the kind of the big three OG spots in Detroit. Those are 1940s, 1950s. And I can't speak to all three of them because I don't know each of their origin stories, but I do know that it, like, say Cloverleaf, for instance, or in probably Louis too, the family was the only one making the dough. They weren't having like employees come in and do it. So the recipes were not out there. It's not like public domain. And they were keeping this stuff really under wraps because it's their livelihood. And so in those days, it was a cutthroat business, of course. So I think that also has a lot to do with it. It's just so much time has passed and other people have learned how to not necessarily replicate it, but get close to it, you know, and everybody puts their own spin on it, just like we do. But I think for a long time, it was really kept under wraps.
Yeah. And you guys actually, what's fun is that you guys not only do great Detroit style pizza, but you do great bar style pizza. And I think, Zane, we were chatted years ago and you put me on to Star Tavern in New Jersey. And so I took a special pilgrimage to Star Tavern, and I got to say, it was really good. It was good. It was good. It was good. I do like Via's bar style pizza better, but I will tell you the one thing that the Star Tavern shocker were their wings. I mean, if anyone hasn't been to Star Tavern and tried their wings, it is just, it is worth a flight. They're the best wings I've ever had in my life. Like, they're just phenomenal.
Well, see, now we got to go back and try the wings.
Yeah.
and one of the things, though, that makes Via so special, and, you know, sure, did Pizza Hut do Detroit style for an LTO? Yeah, absolutely. Are there going to be other Detroit styles? Yeah, absolutely. But what makes Via so special is just the ambiance. I mean, you guys have it nailed to the T. It is just such an authentically cool place to go to. The people you hire are so authentically cool, and you give them latitude to be authentically cool. Like, I took, my new EA, her first lunch, what did I do? I took her to Via, and I'm like, I want to give you like a good, a a really good sit down restaurant experience. And when our server found out that that was her first time, what'd she do? She brought over your bomb cinnamon sticks at the end of the meal so that she could try those out. And I'm like, that's really cool. And like, I don't know if you guys have trained on that, but how do you keep culture from a trailer to a multi-state, double-digit, triple-digit growth restaurant? How do you keep that culture?
You probably should ask Savory. That's their, no, I'm kidding.
No, Savory's really good at bottling and squeezing.
Yeah.
But you guys made the sauce.
Yeah. I mean, we're still around. One, I think that helps. We're preaching the gospel. It's coming straight from our mouths. We have great leadership that helps spread the message right there, the extension of us. And I think it's just revisiting it. It's a topic that's brought up weekly of how we're wowing customers daily, and what have you done to wow a customer lately? It's a weekly conversation that we have with all the leadership. That's been from day one.
Yeah, I mean, very well said. And Brandon is really good at, he brings this up a lot. He didn't say it just now, so I'm going to say it on his behalf. But Zach, as you know, I mean, people can have a lot of opinions about what great pizza is. You ask 10 people, you'll get 10 different answers. There is no disputing what good service and good hospitality looks like.
Yeah.
And that's the goal. You know, the pizza, we'll let you figure out if you love it or not. We like it, obviously, but the service, we got to be on point.
Yeah. I just read, you know, we were talking about setting the table right before this, mm-hmm. and I just finished the book Unreasonable Hospitality. And these books and this concept of hospitality, it's so important. And I think something that often gets lost, right? And especially when you have a venue that's maybe there's a lot of takeout, maybe there's a lot of to go, it becomes challenging because how do you deliver hospitality to all of these different types of customers? And it becomes hard. But I think at the end of the day, one of the things that I think I've had every single time I've gone into Via, and you know, I've been in there dozens of times, it's that my servers always seem to care. And from little dum-dums to my kids, mm-hmm. to bringing over those cinnamon sticks, I always tell people the little things matter because they're the little things. You could fake the big things. You can't fake the little things. And so I think that's a really critical aspect of it. And with all of this and with how much attention you've put on hospitality and the guest experience, what would you say is the most important aspect of guest experience nowadays?
I mean, you know, consistency. I know that's not a hospitality thing, but the consistency of the experience as well as the food quality is super important. I love that you can expect that you could go to a Via and say, it's my first time. And know that you're triggering something behind the scenes and then follow through with it. To have that consistency, I think is huge.
So is the cinnamon sticks, is that like a thing? Is that like in the...
It's up to the server, really. So like if you were to order a bar style and say it's your first time, they should bring you a Detroit style because you shouldn't leave without trying the Detroit style at the very least. I'm not saying one's better or the other, but we're famous for our Detroit style. You have to try it if you're here. But, you know, sometimes people get hung up on, I don't like thick pizza, I don't like Chicago style pizza, so they won't even give it a shot. And so, you know, they have the freedom to kind of make that decision in the moment, whether it be a cheese stick, but it should be from the heart. It should be their favorite thing. Nothing's better than somebody going, this is my favorite thing here, and giving it to you. That's from the heart, and they should be doing that.
I love that. What do you think, Zane?
I think Brandon covered it.
Awesome. Really. So so let's talk a little more about tactics, because there's the whole strategy of the guest experience, but then there are some tactics. And we just talked about one of, if you find out that someone's there, what can you do to make their experience a little more special? Are there any other tactics that you guys use to really showcase the guest experience and the Via brand?
I mean, you touched on a lot of them. You know, the dum-dums at the end of the meal, the first timers is what we call them, really. And the manager should swing by, sometimes during the day. We don't have a manager on the floor. We'll have a key basically watching the floor, but a manager or somebody from some type of leadership should swing by and introduce themselves and thank you personally for coming in. Just that extra bit of attention that really seals the deal for you to get you to come back. Hopefully we do. If we can hear that you're celebrating a birthday, anniversary, or anything, we have cards that the whole staff sign and thank you for coming in. And it's a free pizza to come back. There's a lot of flexibility, though. The servers have the freedom to make a decision. If they didn't feel like it was perfect, they can comp the meal. We'll figure it out later.
How do you find the people? Like, what's the secret to finding? You know, I saw this article in Utah Valley Business magazine that was like, you know, Via313 is hiring 100 people. Like, I'll be honest, I've never seen an article about a restaurant hiring people before in like a magazine. I thought that was pretty cool. what's the secret? Like, what do you look for in hiring, and how do you attract those people?
I think we attract them just by being who we are, right? When you walk into a Via, you know it's a safe place. It's for everyone. Pizza is for everyone. I mean, it's pizza, beer, and ice cream, so it should be a fun, exciting atmosphere. So, I mean, listen, we have our struggles just like everyone else trying to hire people. It's we have one person, and her job is to keep hitting the pavement and finding as many people as possible, because, you know, we're doing a store a month almost. So, and every store's 80 to 100 people we need. So it's a full-time gig, just hiring and training people for sure.
That's awesome. And who's someone that we should be following in the restaurant industry? Who's someone that deserves an ovation?
You know, it's funny. Yeah. I think my brother and I both love Kent Taylor from Texas Roadhouse, rest in peace, 2 years ago. I just looked it up here because I don't know who the new CEO is. It's Gerald Morgan, I just learned. But, you know, taking over Texas Roadhouse, that's a company we love as far as consistency, expectations, execution. I think
and roles.
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at. Texas Roadhouse always delivers in that arena. K&N Management, you know, they just sold here in Austin, but they own some Rudy's Barbecues and Mighty Fine. We spent a lot of time training with them on hospitality. Pales Sudden Service over on the East Coast.
Tennessee.
What's that?
East Tennessee specifically.
Right? Yeah. Another company we've really looked up to and took a lot of pointers from for service and hospitality. Trying to think of some more, but those obviously Setting the Table and Unreasonable Hospitality, two great books that we've bought for all the leadership to check out. You know, I'm going to keep railing. I'm sorry. Cause I read that question and I wanted to come prepared. Micaiah Solomon, I'm going to drop a name that probably doesn't get mentioned nearly enough. This dude has written 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't even know how many books about service and hospitality, and he really nails it. Love reading his books. And
great dude too. Speak.
Yeah.
Great dude.
Cool. I'm going to reach out to him. Would love to have him on the pod.
Yeah, he's great.
Awesome. Well, how do people find and follow you guys in Via?
I'll shut up and let him talk.
Oh my gosh. I knew you were going to do that. Well, we're on all the, I'm going to say all the socials, but you know what? I don't even know if that's entirely true. I guess we do have a TikTok page, right? But
yeah,
is that true? Yeah. I see. I don't even look at TikTok, but you know, Facebook and, you know, Instagram, it's just Via313. And the Via313 is the, it's like the, you know, Via313.com, obviously, for the website. And then all the links are there. But we don't have like them broke out into locations or something. It's just one big one overseeing all of it.
Cool.
Yeah. So awesome. Nothing crazy on that front.
Well, dude, Brandon and Zane, for really elevating what pizza is for me and introducing me to the best Detroit I've ever had, and for helping me to rethink what pineapple on pizza means. Today's ovation goes to both of you. Zane and Brandon, thanks for joining us on Give an Ovation.
Oh, thank you, man.
Always a pleasure.
Glad you're with us today, and thank you. Thank you to the risk takers, the troublemakers, the crazies who are keeping this world clothed and fed. You're the ones who deserve an ovation. Again, this podcast was sponsored by Ovation. To see how we can help you grow your business, go to ovationup.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And as always, remember to give someone in your life an ovation today.